This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to give feedback to a high performer without undermining their confidence. A practical system for delivering honest feedback that builds, not breaks. In short, after reading this, you will know how to give feedback to a high performer in a way that builds their confidence rather than quietly chipping away at it. Prepare specifically vague feedback is the most common way to lose a high performer's trust. Separate the person from the behaviour and stay anchored in concrete examples. Close every feedback conversation with a clear, forward-looking action rather than a verdict. Definition: give feedback effectively means delivering honest, specific observations about a person's work or behaviour in a way that is clear enough to act on, respectful enough to receive, and timed carefully enough to make a genuine difference. You promoted someone 2 years ago because they were the best person in the room. Now they are missing something. Not much. Just enough to matter. And every time you sit down to tell them, the words come out wrong or do not come out at all. That is the moment most managers quietly abandon. They tell themselves the person is too good to need it, or that the feedback is too small to warrant a formal conversation. So nothing is said, the gap widens, and the high performer either plateaus or leaves wondering why no one helped them grow. Here is the real reason this happens. Giving feedback to a high performer feels riskier than giving it to someone who is struggling. You worry about denting their drive. You worry they will hear criticism as a verdict on their whole track record. You do not have a system for doing it well, so you avoid it. In this guide, you will get a clear, practical process to give feedback effectively to your best people, starting with your next conversation. If you're exploring how feedback shapes broader team dynamics, How Feedback Loops Boost Team Synergy is a strong companion read. Why giving feedback to strong performers is harder than it looks. Knowing that something needs to be said and actually saying it well are two very different things. Most managers understand the importance of feedback in principle. Very few have a system for delivering it to someone who's already performing at a high level. Here is what makes it genuinely difficult. The stakes feel higher. High performers carry more responsibility, so any conversation that could disrupt their confidence feels like a risk to the whole operation. You hesitate because the cost of getting it wrong seems steep. They do not expect it. High achievers often move through their careers receiving mostly praise. When substantive feedback arrives without a clear structure, it can land as a shock rather than useful information. You are afraid of the emotional reaction, not anger, usually. The harder thing to navigate is quiet withdrawal. A high performer who goes silent after a feedback conversation is genuinely unsettling. The feedback is often subtle. It is rarely about a major failure. It is about a pattern, a blind spot, or a ceiling they are approaching. That kind of nuanced observation is harder to frame clearly than a straightforward mistake. You carry your own history with this. If someone once gave you feedback that damaged your confidence, that memory lives in the room with you every time you try to do it for someone else. The goal is not to eliminate these difficulties. It is to build a system that works in spite of them. The foundation. What you need before you start. Before you begin, there are three things that need to be clear. Skip these, and even the most carefully structured conversation will fall flat. Number 1. A specific example, not a general feeling. Vague feedback is not kind. It is confusing. You can sometimes come across as dismissive means nothing on its own. In last Tuesday's planning meeting, when Sarah raised her concern about the timeline, you responded before she had finished her sentence gives the person something real to work with. Your job before the conversation is to identify at least one concrete moment that illustrates the pattern. Number 2. Your intention, stated clearly to yourself. Before you walk into the room, ask yourself, am I giving this feedback to help this person grow, or to relieve my own discomfort? The answer matters. High performers can sense when feedback is about the giver, not the receiver. Your intention shapes your tone, your word choice, and your ability to stay present when the conversation gets uncomfortable. Number 3. A quiet, private setting with enough time. Feedback given in the corridor or at the end of a crammed agenda is feedback that cannot be heard properly. Earn the right to be listened by protecting the time and space for it. Get these right first. The steps that follow will not work without them. Step 1. Open with respect, not reassurance. This step sets the tone for everything that follows. How you begin a feedback conversation tells the other person whether it is safe to listen. Most managers open with excessive reassurance. You are amazing. You always do great work. I just have one small thing. That kind of opening trains the listener to brace for the blow that is coming. By the time you get to the actual feedback, they have spent 90 seconds waiting for it rather than listening. Open instead with a direct, respectful statement of purpose. Tell them why you asked to speak with them and what you want to achieve together. Keep it brief, 2 or 3 sentences at most. Write down your opening 2 sentences before the conversation, not in the meeting itself. Include the person's name and acknowledge their contribution clearly, without loading it with excessive praise. State the purpose of the conversation plainly. I want to talk through something I have noticed because I think it matters for where you're headed. Avoid qualifiers like "this might just be me" or "it is probably nothing." They undermine what follows. Make eye contact and slow your pace. Brushing through the opening signals anxiety, and the other person will catch it. Example: James, I wanted some time with you today because I have noticed something in how you handled the project update calls, and I think it is worth us talking through. You are one of the strongest people on this team, and this conversation is about keeping you moving forward. That opening "respect James" states the purpose clearly and does not bury the reason for the conversation under 3 minutes of praise. When you set a clear tone early, the feedback that follows lands on steadier ground. Step 2. Name the behavior, not the person. This is the step where most feedback conversations go wrong. You mean to talk about a pattern. The other person hears a verdict on who they are. The difference between those two outcomes lies in your language. "You are impatient" is a character assessment. "You moved to solutions before the rest of the team had finished raising concerns" is a behavior. One of those sentences a person can do something about. The other one just stings. High performers, in particular, have often built their identity around their professional capability. Feedback that feels like a judgment of character rather than a comment on behavior can trigger a defensive response that closes the conversation down entirely. Use phrases that anchor the observation to a specific action. "What I noticed was," or "in that moment, what happened was." Separate the person from the act by naming the impact on others, not a flaw in the individual. Stay in the past tense when describing the behavior. Present tense sounds like a permanent label. Avoid adverbs like "always" and "never." They are almost always inaccurate and always feel like an attack. If you notice yourself slipping into character language, stop and reframe. Your dismissive becomes when you cut across someone's point. It can close down the conversation. When you name behavior rather than character, you give the person something they can actually change. That is the whole point. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book "Say It Right Every Time" gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Step 3. Use one clear example. One strong, specific example does more work than 5 vague observations. This step is about anchoring your feedback in reality rather than leaving it floating in the air. High performers respond to evidence. They're used to operating on facts. When you bring a clear, specific moment into the conversation, you're speaking their language. When you speak in generalities, they can dispute the feedback or dismiss it quietly, and you lose the room. This is also the step where your preparation pays off. The example you chose before the conversation is the one you use here. Do not introduce several. One is enough. Describe the situation briefly: where you were, what was happening, who else was present. Describe the specific behavior you observed, not your interpretation of it. Describe the impact that followed, how the room shifted, what you heard from others afterward, what opportunity was missed. Keep your account short. 3 or 4 sentences. This is not a trial. It is a conversation. Invite their perspective immediately after. "That is what I observed. What was going on for you in that moment?" Example: in the debrief on Thursday, when the product team raised concerns about the launch date, you moved straight to revised timeline before they had finished explaining the issue. "I noticed 2 people in the room go quiet and stop contributing after that. I wanted to understand what was driving that response, because I do not think it reflected how you actually want to run those conversations." That example is specific, fair, and opens a door rather than closing one. Step 4. Listen before you conclude. Most feedback conversations are designed as deliveries, not exchanges. You say the thing you prepared, the other person nods, and you both leave with the same understanding you walked in with. That is not feedback. That is a monologue. High performers almost always have context you do not have. There may be a reason the behavior happened that changes how you interpret it, or they may have been aware of the issue themselves and already working on it. If you do not ask, you will never know, and you will give feedback that misses the mark. After you share your example, stop. Ask a clear, open question, and then be quiet long enough for a real answer to emerge. Use open questions. What was your read on how that conversation went? Or what was driving your approach there? Do not interrupt or finish their sentences, even if there is a pause. Silence is not failure. Listen for what they are not saying as much as what they are. Defensiveness is information. So is quick agreement that feels hollow. Reflect back what you hear before you respond. So what I'm hearing is that you felt the timeline pressure overrode everything else. Is that right? Adjust your next step based on what you learn. If there is context you did not know, acknowledge it directly. The willingness to listen before you conclude is what separates feedback that changes behavior from feedback that just creates resentment. Step 5. Close with a clear forward step. This step is where confidence is either restored or left uncertain. If the conversation ends without a clear direction, the person leaves carrying the weight of the feedback with nothing to do with it. A high performer without a next action is a high performer with a wound and no bandage. They will replay the conversation, overinterpret it, and lose trust in you as someone who supports their growth. Your job in the closing is to turn the feedback into a specific, achievable action that keeps them moving forward. Agree on one clear next step together, not a list. One thing. Frame it in the positive what they will do, not what they will stop doing. Set a timeline. Let's see how the next two project meetings go, and check in briefly after the second one. Thank them directly for engaging with the conversation. Not with excessive warmth, but with genuine respect. Write down their agreed next step and send a brief follow-up note within 24 hours. Example close. So what we have agreed is that before you move to solutions in the project calls, you will take a moment to ask if everyone has finished raising their concerns. Let's catch up briefly after next Thursday's call and see how it felt. I appreciate you engaging with this honestly, James. It matters. That close gives James clarity, agency, and a timeline. He leaves knowing what to do next. That is how you give feedback effectively and leave confidence intact. For more on how psychological safety shapes these kinds of conversations, how psychological safety enables honest communication and sustains team synergy gives useful grounding. Step 6. Follow up without hovering. The conversation is not the end of the feedback process. It is the beginning. What happens in the days that follow determines whether the feedback sticks or fades. High performers need to know you noticed their effort to change. They also need to know you are not watching them with a clipboard. The balance between support and surveillance is delicate, and it requires intention. Check in briefly at the agreed point, as promised. Not earlier, not much later. If you observe the changed behavior, name it specifically. I noticed you paused in yesterday's call and gave the team space to finish. That made a real difference to how the conversation went. If the behavior has not changed, do not treat the follow-up as a second feedback session. Ask a question first. How did you feel the call went? Keep your follow-up conversations short. 2 or 3 minutes is usually enough if the relationship is solid. If significant change has occurred, say so clearly. High performers need to hear when they have done something well just as much as they need to hear where they can improve. Follow-up is how you demonstrate that the feedback was genuine, not performative. It builds the kind of trust that makes the next honest conversation easier. Adapting this process for remote teams. Giving feedback over video calls or asynchronous messages requires a different kind of care. The absence of physical presence changes what the other person can read, and it changes what you can read too. Protect the environment deliberately. In a physical office, a closed door signals privacy. On a video call, you have to create that signal another way. Send a calendar invite with no subject line and ask the person to find somewhere private. Open the call by confirming they have a few minutes without interruption. Slow everything down. On video, micro pauses feel longer than they are. The natural rhythm of conversation is compressed. Speak more slowly than you think you need to, and leave longer gaps after asking a question. Silence on a call feels awkward fast, but filling it too quickly stops the other person from responding fully. Watch for nonverbal signals that the screen hides. You cannot see someone's hands. You cannot read the room. Pay closer attention to tone of voice, pace of speech, and what happens to their face when you reach the specific example. These are your signals now. Send a written summary after every remote feedback conversation. In person, the spoken word carries the emotional weight of the conversation. On a call, it can dissolve quickly. A brief, warm follow-up note within 24 hours anchors what was agreed and shows the person that the conversation mattered to you. The core process holds in every environment. Only the execution changes. Common mistakes to avoid. Let me tell you about the mistakes I see most often. I have made most of them myself. The mistake: burying the feedback inside so much praise that the other person cannot find it. Why it happens: you want to soften the blow, and it feels kinder to lead with what is working. What to do instead: redirect in your opening. Warm, but direct. If the praise to feedback ratio is 5-1, the feedback gets lost. The mistake: using the word "but" as the hinge between praise and feedback. Why it happens: it seems like a natural bridge, and we've all been trained to do it. What to do instead: replace "but" with "and" or start a new sentence. You handled the client brilliantly. There's one thing I want to explore with you. The "but" cancels everything before it. The mistake: giving feedback in a group setting or where others can overhear. Why it happens: the moment presents itself, and waiting feels inefficient. What to do instead: wait. Always wait. A high performer who receives developmental feedback in front of peers will remember that experience for years. The mistake: ending the conversation without agreeing on a next step. Why it happens: the conversation felt complete, and you did not want to drag it out. What to do instead: before you close, ask what feels like the right next step for you. Then agree on one thing together. The mistake: not following up at the agreed time. Why it happens: other priorities take over, and you tell yourself they probably sorted it out. What to do instead: put the follow-up in your diary the moment the conversation ends. Missing its signals, but the feedback was not that important to you either. These are not character flaws. They are gaps in the system. Fix the system. Your practical checklist. Use this checklist before you begin and after each feedback conversation. I have identified at least one specific example that illustrates the behavior I want to discuss. I have checked my own intention. This conversation is for their growth, not my comfort. I have booked a private setting with enough time for a real conversation. I have written down my opening 2 sentences so I do not stumble at the start. I plan to name behavior, not character, throughout the conversation. I have prepared an open question to ask after I share my example. I have a clear, single next step in mind to propose at the close. I have scheduled a follow-up in my diary at the agreed time. I will send a brief written summary within 24 hours of the conversation. I have read the situation is now the right time, or do I need to wait for a karma moment? If you cannot check most of these, that is your starting point. Summary and next steps. You now have a real process for giving feedback to high performers, one that respects their capability and keeps the conversation moving forward rather than shutting it down. Prepare specifically before you open your mouth. Vague feedback does not help anyone, and high performers will see through it instantly. Open with directness and respect, not excessive reassurance. The tone you set in the first 30 seconds defines the whole conversation. Name the behavior, not the person. Give your feedback something the other person can actually act on. Use one strong, specific example rather than several vague observations. Evidence earns trust. Listen before you conclude. High performers have context you may not have. Find out what it is. Close with one clear, agreed next step. Confidence is rebuilt through action, not through being told everything is fine. Follow up at the agreed time, every time. That is how you show the feedback was real. If you want to go deeper into the communication skills that make these conversations land well, how to give feedback that strengthens team synergy instead of breaking it is worth your time. For the emotional intelligence that underpins every difficult conversation, the role of emotional intelligence in team synergy will sharpen your approach. And if you want to understand the conditions that make honest communication possible in the first place, what is psychological safety and how it drives team synergy gives you the foundation. The ability to give feedback effectively to your best people is one of the most valuable skills you will ever build. Do not waste it by waiting for the perfect moment. The right moment is the one you prepare for. Frequently asked questions. What does it mean to give feedback effectively to a high performer? To give feedback effectively to a high performer means delivering honest, specific observations about their work in a way that respects their capability and motivates further growth. It requires clear structure, careful timing, and language that focuses on behavior rather than character. How do you give feedback effectively without damaging confidence? You give feedback effectively without damaging confidence by anchoring the conversation in specific examples, separating the person from the behavior, and framing the feedback as a natural part of continuing to grow. High performers respond well to directness, where it is paired with genuine respect. Why is giving feedback to high performers harder than giving it to struggling employees? High performers often set their own standards very high, so any criticism can feel like a threat to their identity rather than useful information. The stakes feel higher, and managers often fear disrupting strong performance. This makes structured, respectful delivery even more important. How often should you give feedback to a high performer? You should give feedback to a high performer regularly, not just during annual reviews. Frequent, low-stakes conversations build the kind of trust that allows honest feedback to land well. Waiting too long means feedback arrives as a surprise rather than a natural part of the relationship. What is the best structure for a feedback conversation with a high performer? The best structure includes preparation, a clear opening that establishes respect, specific observations with examples, space for the person to respond, and a forward-looking close that focuses on next steps. Avoid vague generalities and never bury the feedback inside excessive praise. Can giving feedback effectively improve team performance overall? Yes, when high performers receive honest, well-structured feedback, they model the behavior for the wider team. It signals that growth is expected at every level, and that feedback is a tool for development rather than a sign of failure. This strengthens the whole team culture. For more on this, see the role of communication in meeting success and how to handle conflict during meetings. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.